Anyone else got a testimony from last week or the past couple of weeks that God's answered prayer? I'll get Christine to share first.
Last week, Pastor Jordan gave us an opportunity to come up for prayer for physical healing. And I must admit, I sat there in my chair for a wee while thinking, it's too little, don't worry about it. But I have been in pain on and off for the last few months, just in my couple of fingers there, probably as a result of lots of knitting. I'd been sitting there during the morning rubbing my hand, and I thought, you've got to do something. So I came out for prayer, and Haku prayed for me, and I'm going to throw him under the bus. He said to me, it's old people's syndrome. Some words to that effect. And I sort of thought, oh yeah, okay, I kind of know that. But then he started to pray for me, not only that the sinews and cells and things would be repaired, but that I would have young women's hands. And I sat back down and sort of, oh, my hand feels good, you know. And so all week I've had the odd niggle of pain, but nowhere near the pain that I had had. And when I felt those niggles, I just said to myself, I've got young women's hands. My hands are young ladies' hands. And with that, the pain would go. So I haven't had to take any painkillers for it this week. So praise God for that. Thank you.
Doesn't matter how little, how big, God can do a lot of things. Even when I have a toothache, I go to God straight away because I'm like, God, doctors cost a lot. I don't want to spend $3,000. Even though my probably needs a checkup. But Lord, thank you for restoring my teeth. Is anyone else? Do you want to say something? Yeah. Okay. Anyone else got a testimony for this week? I'm just going to give you the opportunity every week. I'm going to ask this question. Do you have a testimony this week? Because when it's real people sitting next to you every Sunday experiencing God's goodness, the best time to do it is on a Sunday. Because sometimes when we preach over a pulpit, it seems so far away that God's like, oh yeah, that could happen. But when it happens to the person next to you, you're like, that can happen for me. So if there's anyone else, is there anyone else here who has like either arthritis in the hand or like hands are sore? Is anyone else in here? Because if God can do it for Christine, God can do it for you. So if there's anyone else in here whose bones are fragile, knees, they're pointing at Caesar. Let's close our eyes for a moment. I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, what you've done for Christine, you will do it again for any other person in this room that is needing a healing, that is needing a breakthrough, that need their ligaments back together, that needs young man bones. Father, we declare it over that person right now. And if they're too whakamā to stand up, Lord God, that's all good. I pray that you deal with them in their heart and deal with any bone in them. Lord Father, put it back into alignment. In the name of Jesus, we pray, all God's people say, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Another testimony this week. We had a great outcome up in Auckland this week with Tama and his family with this court case he's been having. He was supposed to share this morning, but he's probably sleeping in because he came up back late last night from Auckland. And so we were up there for his brother's court case, 5 years. His brother was murdered 5 years ago. And so the court case was finished this week, and it was the verdict that we wanted to hear. And the sermon came out of that court case. God did amazing things. Like, I got to meet with Thomas' family, Thomas' dad, Thomas' cousins, Thomas' friends, and just like really be around them and afi them, love them and support them. But you know what? This is the problem about being a Christian. God talks to you in moments that you don't want him to talk to you. I don't know about you, but there are times and moments where I don't want to hear from God because I'm concentrating on one thing. But when I was sitting in the courtroom with my son was crying, by the way. Like, he was next to me crying. He was like leaning into me because of just what was happening in the room. And it was cool to have this experience with him and walking him through what this looks like in the physical realm, but also what it looks like in the spirit. And so I was looking in the room, and you know what? I looked around at Tama's family, looked around at the other family who was supporting the person who killed his brother. And I was like, God, you can do amazing things through all these people. That the same God that I serve, the same God that set me free, can set that person free too. No one wants to hear that. I was looking at the family next to me. I was like, God, you can do a miracle work through them out of the situation. And this word literally breathed out of that. So we're going to read some scripture real quick. Ephesians 3 verse 1. If you're writing, I encourage you to write down, because we are forgetful beings. Unless you have a memory like Sheldon, you know, Big Bang Theory. No one watches that. Sheldon can remember everything. Ephesians 3:1, it says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles. I'm just going to take snippets of scripture for us to like really hone into something. Philemon 1:1, this letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Jesus Christ, and from our brother Timothy. Philemon 1:9, I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:1, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg to you, lead a life worthy of the calling, for you have been called by God. 2 Timothy 1:8, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him, with the strength of God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Father, we just pray. I pray, Lord God, you speak to each and every one of us. Breathe life within us, Lord God. Reveal the things that needs to be revealed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen, amen, amen. There are two things common with all these scriptures that I put. I like chucked out scripture and you're like, oh, yeah, what does that mean? There are two things that I want us to really hone into. Firstly, that the Apostle Paul wrote these letters. Wow, that's so amazing now. Wow, Apostle Paul wrote these letters. The second thing is that Paul refers himself to a prisoner of Christ. The word prisoner is the Greek word desmios. And that definition means bound or inbounds, a captive or prisoner. Desmios, bound in bonds, a captive or prisoner. And so in Greek, a prisoner, if we look at the text, because if we look in the eyes of what the prisoner looks like now, it kind of just warps our perception about what a prisoner is. And so in Greek, a prisoner is someone who is bound, connected to, or under the control of another. You guys all right? Can I say that again? In Greek, a prisoner is someone who is bound, connected to, or under the control of another. And this comes to my title of my message, which is called Prisoner of dot, dot, dot. Not the word dot, 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 just dot, 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 okay? Prisoner of blank space. Prisoner of blank space. And the question I want to ask and pose to us this morning is, who or what are you bound to? What are you a prisoner of? Can I say that again? Who or what are you bound to? And what are you a prisoner of? Because if you can confidently say, I'm a prisoner of Christ, then can I tell you, that's great. Keep pursuing Jesus. Keep on going. But I'm talking to the person who can't confidently say, I'm a prisoner of Christ. Are we okay? So, for example, if I were to be arrested right now, if I were to be arrested and put into jail, who would I be a prisoner of? Not a hard question. I'm not trying to trick you. If I were to be arrested, put into jail, who would I be a prisoner of? Yeah, the state. They're like, you know, the government, the state. I'll be a prisoner of the state. But the same is with Paul, but Paul is something different. He does something different. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem because Jewish leaders disregarded his teaching about Jesus. If you want a little reference note, Acts 21, 27 to 36. Paul was also held in prison in Caesarea while waiting for his trial before the Roman governor, whose name was Felix. And if you want to look at that, that's Acts 23. So Acts 21 arrested, Acts 23 arrested. Paul was also taken to Rome, where he stayed under house arrest. Oh man, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul. The Paul that wrote the letters in the Bible, he was arrested a lot. That's cool. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. Not cool that he got arrested, but cool. Like, just I'm talking about it. But Paul was taken to Rome, where he stayed under house arrest for a long time while waiting for trial and by the Roman authorities, and that's in Acts 28. So if you read Acts 21, Acts 23, and Acts 28, you'll see the story of Paul on when he got arrested and what happened. But the thing with Paul was that even though he was a prisoner to the rulers of the time, he did not relate himself to a prisoner to his location or who arrested him. Oh, come on now. Even though Paul was, like, if I was arrested to the state, what Paul did, if we put it in our times, if I was arrested and I was arrested and a prisoner of the state, I didn't refer to myself as a prisoner of New Zealand. Paul at the time, even though he was arrested by the Roman authorities from the governor from Jerusalem with all the Jews, even though he was arrested at that location, he did not refer to himself as a prisoner to that location. Are you following me? He referred at all times a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He referred to himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So I want to ask you again, who are you a prisoner to? It's a question that we have to ask, because a lot of the times when we live life, we are prisoner to certain things in our life, not knowing that Jesus has set us free and have given us the key to unlock those doors, those prison doors in our life, but we're still staying bound. Oh, because I hear this a lot, especially when you've been brought up. You know how some people can relate in here, how you've been brought up from the gutter, or brought up from like not a good background, brought up from not much. And so when you're not brought up with not much, you start thinking like you're not much. You start acting like not much. And so that you become a prisoner of not much. So every time you talk or everything that you try to plan ahead of you, it's not much. Why? Because you're a prisoner of it. Are we okay? And so Paul did not refer to himself as a prisoner of Jerusalem or Rome or wherever he was. He referred himself to a prisoner of Christ. And so when I ask us, are you a prisoner of Christ? That's a good question. Maybe not a question you ever asked yourself. Am I? So it got me thinking, what made Paul come to this conclusion of like, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus? What made him come to this point? In Acts 20, we're going to read this from the New King James, verses 17 to 24. We're going to start from verse 17. I don't know how to pronounce this word, but I'm just going to go. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. There's a Paul. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia and the manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept nothing that was helpful but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And now see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count it dear to my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says something significant that we can easily be missed if we just read this like this. I want to slow this down, and we're going to read it from 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. I want to go real slow for us to hear word for word. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. down by the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me, except by the Holy Spirit, testifies in every city, saying to me that chains and tribulations await me. He says, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen, except what the Holy Spirit told me, that chains and tribulation await me. Would you go if God tells you that? Think about it. He says, I don't know what's happening. Like, you know how stuff we go through life and we're like, we don't know what's happening, but all you know, that tribulation awaits for you. Oh, no, I'm not going there. Yeah, no way. But not just tribulation was awaiting him, chains was awaiting him. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. Look at his faith in here. He's like, I don't know what's going to happen, but the Holy Spirit told me this tribulation and chains await for me. But you know what? None of these things move me. We can read this real quick, or we can break it down and just look at it and like, whoo, that's powerful. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Finish my race with joy, knowing tribulations and chains await me. See, it's one thing when you just quickly read it. It's one thing when you slow it down. Let's say it again. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. If I were to break this down, in other words, I would say this. Paul is saying that there are chains and tribulations before me, but that won't move me because it all will be for Christ. If we were to break it down in two sentences, he's saying, I know what awaits me. I know chains are ahead of me. I know tribulations are ahead of me, but that won't move me because it's all for Christ. You know, sometimes we don't have this attitude. We know that something bad's going to happen. We know that, like, we can see something's about to like come bubble up. And you're like, if I keep going this direction, yeah, I don't want that. But if it's all for God, why wouldn't we? Is it fear? Is it knowing that, oh no, chains and tribulations are ahead of me? No. This will really test your relationship with Jesus. Well, knowing that chains and tribulations are ahead of you, but you know you're still going to move there. That will test your relationship with Jesus. Paul is saying, whatever's ahead of me, Christ will be my reason, and no one can take that away from me. Are you with me? So when Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, he's saying to everyone, my life belonged to Christ before I got in these chains. When Paul was saying, I'm a prisoner of Christ, he's saying, it doesn't matter what the world does against me, I was Christ's first. So whether you lock me up, whether you try to shut me up, I'm going to do all these things for Christ. But how much of the church is silent because we're scared of the kickback? We're scared of the, shut your mouth. Your God's not real. The fear of people's opinions about us, because there will be opinions. People will have opinions about you. If you serve Jesus, they're going to have an opinion about you. They might lie to your face and then talk behind your back. Hello? Is that truth? You know what? That's okay. Why? Why is that okay? Because I'm a prisoner of Christ first. So when Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Christ, he's saying, everyone, my life belonged to Jesus first. So it doesn't matter what comes my way, no matter what tribulation I may face, no matter what kickback I may face, no matter what people say against me, I was Jesus's first. You know what? We need to live our life that same way like Paul. that look, I know that ahead of me there's change and tribulations, but that won't move me. The problem with the church, when I say the church, I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about the church, is that we let a lot of the world stuff move us. The way we worship, we let it move us. You know why? Because it's starting to become like a concert. It's starting to become not worship, but a gig. The way we maybe teach upon the pulpit, maybe the way we come into church, we do it like if we're purchasing a ticket to go to a service. You know how you buy tickets to go to somewhere? We sometimes treat church like that, and we move in the direction of what the world looks like, saying, oh, if the world's going to do that, we're going to do it too. But we're supposed to be Christ's first. We're supposed to be leading the world, not the world lead us. So the question we want to ask, what are we bound to, and what am I a prisoner of? Because that will be the thing that's leading your life. If you can't confidently say that I'm a prisoner of Christ, then something else is holding you as a prisoner. Because if it's not Christ, then what is it? Hello? If it's not Christ, then what is it? Who is it? And this is my main point for today. Paul stood in his identity in Christ and not in his circumstance. Can I say that again? Paul stood in his identity in Christ and not in his circumstance. Can I ask you, are you standing or are you, whatever you're going through, is that your identity? Is that why you're going, oh, you know what? I'm this because this person said this to me. I'm this because I'm going through this. I'm this. But it's despite all that, oh yeah, cool. You're getting a lot of hate? Cool. I want to get a lot of hate because of Jesus. Oh, yeah, I want to be a prisoner. If I'm going to get locked up, like I know for preachers now, it's getting a bit harder. The world's turning. And so a lot of the stuff that we're going to start, that we're preaching, will soon be up for the law, where they're going to arrest pastors for saying things of the truth because of what we're saying, what we believe. So if that happens, cool. I already spoke to my wife about it. Babe, if this goes this way, if the world goes this way, I'm going towards Jesus. If I have to get arrested for it, that's fine. Like, me and her already had this conversation. This is a true story. We already had this conversation. Why? Because it's going to go that way. Your life is going to come up to the world and go, are you going to denounce Jesus or are you going to be a prisoner of Christ? It's going to come like that. We live, like New Zealand lives in the safe bubble. Can I say that? New Zealand is quite safe. Like even though a lot of bad stuff happens, but we're quite safe. We're quite, oh, yeah, love Jesus, yeah. But there's going to come a time, where you're going to be either this way, the world's way, or you're going to be a prisoner of Christ. The decision is not going to be made here. You're going to make the decision today. Because if you can make that decision when everything's blooming, you're going to make that decision when everything's going bad. And so Paul does it. He understood. He's like, I know what it means to have much. I know what it means to lack. I know what it means to be poor. But you know what? I want to surrender my life to God anyway. That's the type of attitude that Paul had. And so Paul stood in his identity in Christ and not in his circumstances. That is an important point for us to grasp. The circumstance of being a prisoner and being chained didn't define him. The question I want to ask us, and you need to ask yourself, because I can't answer that, your spouse can't answer this, and the person next to you can't answer this. Who has you in chains? What has you bound? Because Paul shifted perspectives from an earthly point of view where he was chained and going through tribulation naturally. He shifted it from the earthly perspective and an earthly point of view to a godly one that glorified him. So even in my chains, I worship Jesus. That's what Paul did. He did it with Paul and Silas, did it in prison. What did they do in prison? They started praying. They started worshiping. Who worships and prays in prison when they get put into prison? No one. Like that's not normal. But you know who that is normality for? Christianity. That should be our normality. when we're in the dungeons, or when we're in the dungeons of life, when our back's against the wall, is prayer and worship our first point of call. Because even in Paul's chains, he started worshiping Jesus. Even in Paul's chains, he started praying. Even in his chains, he started glorifying God. Not because of the circumstance, but because who God is in him. A prisoner of Christ. And so when Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, he is saying this. I wrote a few things. If I'm going to be changed, I'm going to be chained for Jesus. That's what he's saying. If I'm going to be a prisoner, I'm going to be a prisoner for Jesus. If I'm going to be talked about, I'm going to be talked about for Jesus. If I'm going to be ridiculed, I'm going to be ridiculed for Jesus. If I'm going to be hated, I'm going to be hated for Jesus. And if it's not for Jesus, then who's it for? If you can't say this about yourself, then who's it for? Is it for you? Is it for your ego? We just got to be honest with us. If I want to be chained, am I going to be chained for Jesus, or I want to be in a pity party? Oh, Lord, I'm chained. And Jesus is like, I died on the cross for you. I've given you the keys. Unlock yourself. We think that we need this whole miracle thingy, working God thingy that's happening. I don't know. Like, we just have this mentality, like, God's got to do all this stuff. But God's like, I've done the cross, so what's stopping you? If you're being bound to a certain thing, Christ is like, I've died for that. I've given you the keys to get out of it. What's stopping you? Because if you're going to be chained for me. And if it's not chained for me, then why are you chained? And when we say the prisoner of Christ, let's go back to the meaning of a prisoner. Decimos. Bound in bounds, a captive. You're missing a whole thing, sorry. Let's go back. Bound in bonds, a captive or prisoner. You know when with Paul, when he was waiting for trial and he was under home arrest, the way he was arrested, that he was bound to another. So he was arrested like this, to someone else. When he was a prisoner, he was arrested to somebody else and he had to listen to that person. The question is, who are we bound to? Are we bound to another person? Because he'll be calling the shots for me. Or is this person Jesus? We've got to ask ourselves, who are we a prisoner to? Because if Paul was a prisoner to the authorities back then, and he couldn't move, he couldn't do anything without the officer moving with him. So he had to always ask clearance to the officer. A lot of us are asking clearance to things that God died for. When God's like, you can actually release yourself. We're bound to sin or bound to sickness, and we accept it as like a prisoner. But when God says, I've actually died for that, we don't have to be a prisoner to sickness. And even though my body may be still sick, my spirit's not sick. Because sometimes our body doesn't catch up to the words that we speak. So we're praying, God, heal me. My body's not catching up to that healing. But you know what? My spirit's healed. My spirit's restored. My spirit's whole. So that even though my body isn't where it should be, my spirit's strong. But when we're bound to the wrong things, what happens to your spirit? Your spirit doesn't go, I'm strong. Your spirit says, I'm weak. Your spirit says, I can't do it. Your spirit says, it starts saying, I'm sick. And you know what happens when you start saying to yourself, you're sick? You start acting sick. You start speaking sick. You start thinking sick. And so what, everything comes out of you? Sick. So relate that sick to something else. It could be unforgiveness. You know what the beautiful thing I had experienced this week? The most beautiful thing I experienced this week. If I could slap this, I would slap it, but it's glass. The beautiful thing I experienced this week. Sitting there in the courtroom, and so Tama's little brother went up, spoke. And then Tama came up and spoke. Started speaking, I could hear his frustration, hearing his mad hurt. Then all of a sudden he goes, But you know what? I forgive you. Boom. The decision that he made to go, I forgive you, to the person who killed his brother, I forgive you. All I felt was like, boom, chains broke. Because before he was bound to hatred towards this person. But as soon as he said, I forgive you, a lot of stuff that we're going through, we're bound to it because we believe in it. We're not speaking the truth of the word of God. So we just in our circumstance, and we're bound to it. That's us. That's my identity. I'm in that circumstance. But God's saying, can you just release my word? And those chains will fall. When he said it, my heart, I was like, God, you're in the room. God, you're in the room. If someone was here, I would say the same thing. But if you listen to this later, hey, bro. But I felt the room, and when he's like, I forgive you. And I was like, damn. What would we do in that circumstance? Like, it's easy to say from afar, I want to forgive them. But in that circumstance, I forgive you. Then I felt the weight of the world just break in front of him. So the very thing that was holding him back for the last 5 years broke in pieces as soon as he saw him in his eye and said, I forgive you. And then I talked to him after, and he's like, yeah, man, he's good. Still hurt, still mama, of course, 100%, still mama, still hurt, like all this. But he released the words of forgiveness that released not only the person that done wrong against him, but released himself from having any envy. Because you know what? Envy leads to strife. Envy leads to the things that we don't want to lead to. We start doing dumb things in the sake of envy. So the thing that was bound to him before is not bound to him longer. Why? Because he's choosing in that moment, and I've got to tell him this in person. He chose in that moment, I'm actually a prisoner of Christ. I'm not going to be a prisoner of circumstance. I'm not going to be a prisoner of unforgiveness. I'm not going to be a prisoner of bitterness towards somebody. Because you know what? That person may be sleeping like a baby and you're up all night tossing and turning. What a waste of life living. I don't know why I felt in my heart to preach this morning. But I just felt like my wife knew. Like I had another word. I had another word planned. I had another word to write out. But last night, I was like, she looked at my notes. She goes, this is different. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, I don't know. Like, I just felt like God needs to tell us and release us. You need to stop being bound and a prisoner of the circumstance. Stop being bound and a prisoner of situation. Stop being bound of things that you know you can actually cut off. But you don't want to cut off. Because it feels good for a moment. But we need to release that this morning. Are we all right? So what or who are you bound to? What are you a prisoner of? I want to ask you this question. Is it doubt? Are you a prisoner and bound to doubt? Is it fear? I want to just list some things. Is it unforgiveness? Have a think about it. Is it mistrust? Is it bitterness? Is it uncertainty? Is it pornography? Is it gambling? Is it gaming? Is it words spoken over you? Is it harm towards you, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? And when I say spiritually, I mean you're being hurt within the church. The church doesn't hurt you, the people within it. So what if you haven't dealt with that and been a prisoner of it? Spiritually from your leaders, past leaders or current leader, I hope not, but we've got to be honest. Or your pastors before, or previous or now. Please hit me up if it's now. Is it your past life? Are you bound to your past life? Can't get rid of it. You know what? That's weird as. Like, I remember my childhood. I remember my upbringing. But I don't remember much. I don't remember much of the bad things I've done. Because I was not a good kid. Like, I was a good kid with my parents and good kid when I needed to be. But by myself, I wasn't a good kid. I did some dumb stuff that I wish I didn't do. But the problem is I can't remember exactly what I did. It's like when God forgave me, it's like I forgot. Like I don't remember exactly what I did, but I kind of like got a feel what I did. It's like when I asked God truly for forgiveness, God didn't just wipe me as white as snow. He like helped me erase things that would hold me back. There's many stories within the Christian community of people who have been brought up badly by their parents, and what they the parents started going to church and they got saved. And you know what their prayer was? Lord, help our kids not remember the things that we did to them. And it wasn't like physical, it was just stuff that they did, like bad alcohol in the house, drugs and all this. And they just pray, Lord, make them not remember anymore. You can wipe that away, like all their bad memories, so that they can start living a life of Christ. You know what God does? Not all the time, but he has done it. Heard testimonies after testimonies of people praying for that. But is it your past life? Is it past regrets that you've like, oh man, I wish I did this earlier. Anyone in here? Like when it came to God, like all my older folk, I'm not going to say like my elders, because you're not that old. All my older folk, like you may have thought, man, I wish I did this earlier. The regret of not starting earlier or coming to God earlier. You know what? You're here for such a time as this. Whether you missed the boat 20 years ago, you know what? It doesn't matter. You know why? Because you're here today. I remember, like, I used to hold on to a past regret of mine. I'll share a past regret. I remember God was opening doors for me, worship leading in places that I've dreamed of, like worship leading in front of 500,000 people. And it was amazing. God was opening these doors, and this one moment I fell. And you know what? When I fell, and I could have just come back to the Lord and back to my parents. But you know what I did? I ran away. And you know what they're running away to? 7-8 months away from my parents. Didn't tell them at all. I just ran. And so everything in that whole year, I didn't know God planned all this stuff. And I found out later that God planned all this stuff. And I missed out because of my sin. I missed out because I was bound to other things other than Christ. And I always look back and I'm like, Lord, man, would my life be different? You know what God said to me? He said, stop dwelling on your past, man. Because if you keep looking at your past, you'll never look at your future. And there's some people in here that have regrets of not starting earlier because you're like, oh, I wish I did this earlier, or did this earlier, or did this then. Can I tell you, you're born for such a time as this, and this is the day, like this day here, was planned many moons ago, even before the moons were created. Maybe something might have been different. But you know what? The past is the past. The pastor always say, I think it was Pastor Malcolm and Pastor Gary, they always say, do you know why the rear view mirror is smaller than your front view mirror? Have you heard of that? Why your rear view mirror is smaller than your front view mirror? Because your past is smaller than your future. So what God has ahead of you is bigger. Can you drive a car just looking in your rear view mirror? I'm asking you a question. Can you drive a car looking at your rear view mirror? No. So you can't drive your life looking at your past. If you can't drive a physical car looking in the rear view mirror, then don't think looking at your past is going to get you to your future. And so if you're always constantly looking at your rear view mirror, can I tell you, you may be bound or a prisoner of it. And you know what? God can release you from that today. Whatever it is, God doesn't want you to be a prisoner of that very thing. You can choose to stay in it. This is the beauty about God. God is so beautiful that he will let us choose. You can walk out this place and go, oh no, I'm a prisoner of Christ, prisoner of Christ. But then walk out this door and in life and be bound. The whole week bound. You're still praising Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But there's no like full, whew. There's no eruption because there's a cap over your life because you're still bound to something. God doesn't want us, don't want us to be a prisoner of that very thing, because authentic freedom from all those things that you're a prisoner of, or one thing or many things, is only found in who? Jesus. Not found in my preaching, not found in the worship, but found in Jesus. Yes, God uses the word. Yes, God uses the music. Yes, God uses other people. But it all comes down to Jesus, surrendering our life to him. Because if we're going to be a prisoner of something or someone, then choose to be a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Because in Christ we find freedom. In Christ we find love. In Christ we find forgiveness. In Christ we find strength. In Christ we find comfort. In Christ we find guidance. In Christ we find purpose. In Christ we find all the fruits of the Spirit. I could name all of them, but we're going to be here all day. All the fruits of the Spirit. In Christ there is protection. In Christ there is healing. In Christ there is eternal life. In Christ. Can you put the last slide on? If I'm going to be a prisoner of something or someone, I choose to be a prisoner of Christ Jesus. That's what we want to walk out of today. If I'm going to be a prisoner of something, if I want to be held to something, if I want to be captive to something, I want to be it to Jesus. Because if I'm bound to Jesus, everything that he has, I have. If I'm bound to Jesus, everything that he owns, I own. So when God says, you can take authority in your world, we can take authority. We're not creators. God's the creator. But we can speak the word of God in our life. When things are not going right, Lord, I pray for peace upon the situation. You might not see peace straight away, but peace will be there. Because if I'm going to be a prisoner of something or someone, I choose to be a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So I want to ask us again, who or what are we bound to and who are we prisoner of? Why don't you close your eyes for a moment? Have a think about it. Think about your situation. Think about where you are with God today. I want to name some things. Are you a prisoner of doubt, fear, unforgiveness, mistrust, bitterness, uncertainty, pornography, gaming, gambling, words spoken over you, harm towards you physically, emotionally, spiritually, your past life, or past regrets? If you're a prisoner of those things, today, God wants to release you from that. It's not my prayer that's going to do it, but you surrendering your heart towards God who's going to do it. And so with every eye closed, I want to ask this question. Do you want to be released from those things today? If you do, just stand where you are while your eyes are closed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.